Like in the good old days when we had to wait for the next week or the next season for our favorite show to come back on, oftentimes the episode or the series would end with a cliffhanger and we didn't really know what was going to happen next. We were anticipating with anxiety. This is how this passage ends. What do you think, that he will not come to the feast? As the entire world was gathering in Jerusalem for this Passover, would Jesus show up or not? So that's where we are in our liturgical reality. What's going to happen these next few days? Will we encounter Jesus or not? In a way, we already know the story objectively, but personally, will we encounter Jesus this week? Where we see him at the Passover. And some beautiful truths in this passage, whether they were intended by Caiaphas, by the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin or not, as we can reflect in hindsight with the light of grace and the light of the gospel, where the Sanhedrin says, if we leave him alone, all will believe in him. The power of Jesus. If we unleash that power of Jesus, allow his words, his grace, his miracles to shine forth, then all will believe in him. Do you not consider that it's better for one man to die instead of the people? What a beautiful truth that is. And what a reality that became. And he died not just for that, but to gather all the nations back. That's one of the missions that the Father sent his Son on, the great ingathering, that all those who were scattered, all those who were far away, would be brought back together into the one. And that's a fulfillment of the prophecy that we had from the first reading from Ezekiel. That beautiful chapter 37, and that whole section, 35, 36, 37, this beautiful prophecy that Ezekiel has, and we'll hear some more of that in the following days as you come to the liturgical celebrations, especially on the Easter Vigil. But this beautiful prophecy from Ezekiel, he's writing, he himself is a prisoner of war. He is in exile. They're in Babylon, 600 years or so before the birth of Jesus. And the southern tribe had been conquered. The northern tribe, 200 years before that, had already been conquered, and not just conquered, but dispersed. So there was no more remnant in the north of the chosen people, those who had been called forth from by the God to be that united, visible face of the Father to the world. That face had been scattered. And the prophet is here telling us that the day will come when David will come and rejoin everybody. David has been dead now for 400 years. And this prophecy says that David, the prince, would come. What an amazing kind of imagination we can bring to these passages. And what must it have been like to hear it in real time? And in the subsequent years and centuries, to hear our fathers tell us these prophecies, and then to be there at the time of Jesus, and in those years following, to put the pieces together, to see how God loves us so much that what he had prophesied so many centuries before is true, is coming true in the person of Jesus. But this great ingathering is what Ezekiel prophesied. So we heard about in the gospel. And it's the reality that God's plan is that we are all one, that we come together, united as one body in the church. And so the opening prayer we had today, that collect, that those reborn in Christ, that those of us through the waters of baptism who have been separated from sin and joined to God, that we become a holy race, a holy priesthood, a holy people, that there is a united front through the waters of baptism, that we are one. There should be no division in the church. And it says we pray for the grace to will and to do God's way, to fulfill his commandments. And that's part of the prophecy Ezekiel had in that first reading. That we would be his people and he would be our God and we would follow his commandments. And we're praying in the prayer in the Mass today for the grace for that to be a reality. And so there's so much here, just in these scriptures, that can allow us to meditate every day, all day long during Holy Week. Do I really know my identity as someone reborn through the waters of baptism and intimately joined to the Father? That I am a member of His body, but I need His grace, not just to do the right thing, but to even want to do the right thing. That's what we prayed for, the grace to will and to do His will. And so we pray for that, for our desires to be reoriented after the desires of the heart of our Father, so that we can turn away from this world of sin and darkness and accomplish God's will and allow His will to be accomplished through us. So what are we still clinging to? Where are we still in need of God's healing and deliverance from our attachment to this world? Where have I not yet let Jesus' sacrifice on the cross purify my heart and my mind? So much that we can bring to our prayer this week so that in a few short days we can really joyfully enter into the Paschal mystery, that sacred triduum, where the mysteries of our salvation are laid out for us in real time. And that the joy and the excitement, maybe the confusion, the apprehension of those days could be a reality for us, but all done so with the confident assurance that the death of Jesus has saved me from my sins and has allowed me to live in the freedom as a son or as a daughter of the one true God. So many times the Old Testament reminds us that the Father in heaven desires to be our God. He desires us to be His people. We say so often that this Holy Week coming up is the week that changed the world, and if we live it well, it could be the week that changes our life. And it's not just a cute little saying, it's the reality. That the mysteries we celebrate every day in the Holy Mass make that a possibility, that my life can be changed, that my heart can be changed, my mind can be changed, my will can be changed. I can become a saint. I can fulfill God's will for my life by His grace. So pray for that grace to will and to do God's will for your life.